Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
My whole life, I had parents that believed in more natural ways of dealing with illness, and some of it was rather simple. What we got out of the ground as far as our garden, a lot of it was that, the way to treat ourselves. And then as I've grown up and I've become an adult and people that I know have been sick, you know, I found with my friend Jay that I've talked about before on my show that he had stage 3, maybe stage 4, close to stage 4 cancer, and he almost turned his health completely around using a natural product. So it really made me believe even stronger. And I've always been a supporter of supplements, and I'm always trying to find out more. David Foreman is from Tampa, Florida. Now, he has done many things, but at one time he was a pharmacist, and now he's known as an herbal pharmacist. He also hosts his own radio show. He's a naturopathic doctor. He's an author, television commentator, and a practitioner of natural living and holistic approaches to better health. He's on the phone from Tampa. How you doing, David?
I'm great. It's an honor to be with you today. It really is.
It's great to have you on the show. I was checking out your website, and I like a lot of things that I see on your site. And, of course, everybody's got their own opinion. How long have you been involved in all of this?
We'll say 16 years. I got into it about a year before my son was born, and seeing that he just turned 15, I'll say 16.
16 years down the natural path, you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I got into it about 2 years before I sold my pharmacy. I owned a traditional apothecary style pharmacy in Virginia many, many years ago, and just one thing led to another, and I put a whole line of supplements and, you know, herbs, vitamins, homeopathics into my store, knowing nothing about it. And as I started digging around on it, I learned that there was an awful lot of credibility to going natural. I mean, heck, I was even taught in pharmacy school that, you know, 30% of the drugs that are on the market came from some plant.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people look at me like, how did you go from one to the other? I'm like, well, it really wasn't that odd.
They're kind of in competition with each other, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty well. Now, yeah, it's kind of funny. And of all the healthcare professionals out there, in between, you know, medical doctors and nurses and pharmacists and anybody else in between, pharmacists usually don't like me at all. And I'm not really quite sure. Medical doctors are warming up to what I do, and then usually the nurses and even people that are into the mental health field and stuff like that, they're very open to what I do. But yeah, my previous colleagues pretty much don't dig what I do at all, and I don't quite understand why.
Well, maybe they feel that you're cutting into their profits.
Yeah. Hey, I got to tell you something really funny. Your intro, you were talking about how you were raised with, you know, you had your own garden.
Right.
And, you know, all that. All right, so I got to tell you a funny story. I was raised that way too, except for one thing that I realized only a couple of years ago. We had all this awesome fresh produce and herbs and fruits and veggies and you name it. My parents sprayed the heck out of it. And so now I'm looking at it like, wow, you know, we got those fine ripened, you know, tomatoes, but they were laden with pesticides.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of, you know, anyway, I apologize for breaking bad on
your
intro, but I started laughing in my head. I'm like, God, I hope I get a chance to say this because it was so funny.
You know, I don't think my parents did any of that because they weren't worried about it. We didn't always have to have the best tomatoes. You know, if the rabbits got them once in a while, my mom didn't really care. So it was pretty natural stuff. But it is funny because people look back and they'll say, yeah, we had really good food. Yeah, did you spray it, you know?
well, it's funny. I mean, I've known it for years, but it wasn't until I had this revelation, you know. I don't know. I'm saying within the last year and a half, I had this revelation. I could literally see my dad out with the sprayer.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah, my mom dusting things, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, my
goodness. No wonder I'm screwed up.
So, anyway, Rich, initially, David, we were going to talk about antibiotics and the flu season and how people overuse those, and I see that a lot as well. And why have antibiotics become such a threat to us?
Well, we've overused them. It's kind of funny. We've sort of sterilized ourselves with, you know, the hand sanitizers and, you know, the I'm not picking on brands, but the Lysol kind of stuff and disinfectants. And the overuse of antibiotics has created what we call a superbug. You know, we've now had these bacteria that have mutated. They've basically adapted to the antibiotics that we used years ago and become resistant to them. In other words, you know, you think about it, you know, some people listening may not get it, but if you go back to when I was a kid, pretty much the only antibiotic we had was penicillin. And right. nowadays, it worked. You know, it got rid of whatever you had. But because we overused penicillin, the bacteria mutated or changed how they were, so they were now immune to the effects of that antibiotic. These we use antibiotics to kill bacteria. And so because they mutated, now that penicillin that we used when I was a kid really doesn't work anymore. And we've kept doing that over the last several decades, and we now really have the beginnings of what I'm looking at as an epidemic of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And there's some really common ones. Probably the most common one in the news these days is something called MRSA, M-E-R-S-A. It stands for MRSA, sorry.
MRSA.
it's a Staph aureus, that's the name of the bacteria, that's methicillin-resistant, MRSA, and which means that you go to your doctor and you have that type of bacteria, there's nothing they're going to be able to give you that's going to kill it. So it's going to end up, you know, causing more and more damage, and it's become life-threatening. Even the World Health Organization in 2011 had this campaign of appealing to doctors and pharmacists and even the public like you and I to really be cautious about the overuse of antibiotics, because when you need one, it might not work.
It might not work at that point. So is there something that we can do naturally to combat this, whatever what you just called it?
MRSA?
Mm-hmm.
Internally, no. MRSA, thank God, is usually an external, you know, it's like a skin infection usually. Mm. And not to get overly graphic, but it tends to slowly eat away at the skin.
And great.
The patches get bigger and bigger and bigger. And in some cases, you know, people, you know, do die from it.
Mm.
And probably more and more. And in the natural health field, I've had some success using some topicals. I've used a combination of three oils. I'll use something called tea tree oil, T-E-A, and then tree like a tree outside, tea tree oil. I'll use garlic oil. It has to be fresh garlic oil, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been sitting in your cabinet for 8 years. It probably has lost its effectiveness. And then the last oil I like to use is oil of oregano. And
yes.
You mix all three of those together, and all three have shown in labs to be very effective topically for killing bacteria. And I've had people do really well with fighting MRSA that way. But, you know, the key thing is, man, is we all need to just kind of relax and not over. This is like the best time of year to really avoid using antibiotics.
Right.
Because most of the time when we get sick in the fall, winter months, it's usually caused by a virus. And yet, doctors often prescribe antibiotics.
What about
for you?
What about getting what about getting the flu shot? How do you feel about that, David?
I'm going to make some people angry here. I am completely against the flu shot.
And why is that, David?
The flu shot is modern medicine's attempt to guess on which flu virus is going to be most prevalent in our culture. But there are, so they've picked one, and that's what the vaccination is made up of. But you could be exposed to, you know, hundreds of other types of flu viruses. And it's so funny because people say, well, I got the flu shot, I still got the flu, I don't understand. Well, there's a lot of other types of viruses other than the one you probably got the shot for.
David, let me ask you this. To your knowledge, the best of your knowledge, can somebody get sick from getting a flu shot?
No, you cannot. At this day and age, that is not what happens. The virus is inactive. Back in the old days when we first had the flu shot, many moons ago, you could get sick from, you could actually catch the flu from that flu vaccine.
Okay.
But you do not. And here's the thing. People don't realize it takes days to for the flu to show up. So if you get the flu 3 or 4 days after you got your flu shot, I'm going to tell you probably why. It's because when you went to get your flu shot, you were at your doctor's office around a whole bunch of other sniffling, sneezing, snotting and wheezing people.
Right, right.
And so that virus is in the air.
Right.
You can't see it, and it got into, you know, your sinus passage, your nose, or whatever, because you breathed it in. And then you had 3 to 5 days later, you're bam, you got it. You're going, well, man, I got the flu from the flu shot.
David, I just want to ask you this now. If you have a strong, healthy immune system, because I've always kind of believed this, you're going to have a better chance. You're going to get these viruses. There's no way to avoid them unless you live yourself in like in a bubble, if you're a bubble boy. But if you keep your immune system up, you have a better chance of getting a less severe form of these viruses. How do you feel about that statement?
I couldn't have said it better myself. That's how you dialed in on it completely. You know, it's funny, not in a hilarious way, but more amusing. If you go back and look at who dies from the flu or who dies from infection, it's rarely, and I mean microscopically rare, for it to be just a healthy individual such as myself. So it's people that already are in a weakened state of health that usually die from the flu. And I think they say like 30 or 40,000 people die each year from the flu. You know, and if you look at that, the majority of those are people that are already in a weakened or compromised, you know, immune system.
Usually it's younger. Right. It's younger ones, they say, who haven't really developed the immune system, right? And then also like the older ones.
Exactly. You know, and here's the other thing that factors into this. If you're consuming a diet that's high in sugar or refined and processed foods, you have a much weaker immune system than, say, your twin brother or sister that doesn't eat that crap. And pardon me for saying it that way.
It's okay.
Sugar, even honey, some people use agave nectar, and then those really refined processed foods like bread and pasta, those things, those literally lower your immune function. The sugar, specifically honey, and anything that actually is sugar will make your immune cells dumb, we'll say, for 8 to 12 hours at a time.
Okay.
So, I mean, you might have immune cells, but because you've consumed these processed or refined foods, and most of them are the, quote, white foods, you know, in color, they will make your immune cells really be inactive, or one of my favorite sayings is it just makes your immune system stupid. And because if your immune system was functioning properly, it would identify the bad cell, in this case a virus,
right,
or bacteria,
right,
or even a cancer cell. Go back to your friend you were talking about, you know. If your immune cells are functioning the way they're supposed to, then it'll identify the bad guy and it'll destroy it. But because you've consumed all these processed, refined foods, they're not functioning the way they can. So now these bacteria, viruses, and even cancer cells have the opportunity to replicate and make more. And then, you know, you do enough of that, you're way behind the eight ball. And, yeah, you get the flu, you get some kind of infection, or you get cancer.
I think I was reading on your site, you called it the last straw. Your body reaches a certain level, and it's the last straw at that point.
Exactly. Yeah, I love analogies. I mean, it just makes things easier for me to understand. I always say it's the straw that broke the camel's back, and you don't know where it is. So with your immune system, you need to take as much straw off of the camel's back. In this case, you need to do all the things you can proactively to affect your immune system so that it can, you know, it can attack the viruses that you get exposed to this winter, or even just throughout the year, or bacteria, you know, or even the, you know, abnormal cells your body produces. And so, you know, for me, taking straw off the camel's back means I'm gonna eat right. I'm going to eat more fruits and vegetables, nuts, seeds. I'm going to avoid processed foods. I'm going to avoid sugar. and then I'm going to look at supplements. I mean, that's how I got the name Herbal Pharmacist. I mean, I'm the only one in the country. I created the name, and I'm it. And so I'm going to take supplements that are going to help support my healthy immune system and function the way it's supposed to be. And then if for some reason, you know, that doesn't work, which is usually rare. I mean, I can't honestly remember the last time I was sick. And it's because I get enough exercise, I get enough rest, you know, I take my supplements, and, you know, I eat properly.
I'm sorry, David. I was going to say, on your site, and this really caught my eye, you said there are four pillars of health.
Right.
And what are those four pillars?
Yeah, I kind of ripped off three of them right there. Tell me to slow down. I think
that's okay. No, that's fine. Just so people diet. That are listening, go ahead. Go ahead.
That's cool. Diet is one. These are no particular order. Okay, they're all equally as important. There's four quarters in a pie, you know, and so each one's equally important. So diet, exercise, spirituality. For me, it's Christianity, but people practice other things. And then the last thing is supplementation, and I do believe that because the way things are farmed these days, or just because we don't really live the lifestyle we should, that there are certain supplements that play a real critical role in, achieving that ultimate health that we're all looking for.
What kind of supplements can we take this time of year when our immune systems might be more compromised that would be best for us? And something, I also have a two-part question. Can some of these things build up in our system and become toxic?
The things that I will recommend right now would be safe for long-term use. You know, one of those forever and ever amen type of things.
Okay.
One supplement I only learned about in the last year is a supplement called ResistAid, ResistAid.
Okay.
ResistAid. ResistAid actually works directly with your immune system just to help it function better. It doesn't stimulate it. It just enhances its performance. Another supplement I really like for long-term use is the medicinal mushroom maitake. It's M-A-I-T-A-K-E. I prefer a specific extract they call D as in David, defraction. So maitake defraction is the one that I would use if I was taking something as a preventative.
Okay.
Those are the two primary ones. There's another one that's pretty hot, too. Again, great for daily use. They even make chewable for your kids. And it's called Wellmune, Wellmune. You could actually use all three if you wanted to, but I don't know about you, but my economy doesn't allow me to do that.
Come on, you're the herbal pharmacist. Come on.
Yeah, I know. You'd think I'd get hookups, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, you'd probably get all that stuff for free, I bet you.
Yeah, right on. Every now and then I'll hit people up, but I do use the ResistAid. The ResistAid I use actually comes in a probiotic, so I'm getting those friendly bacteria, which are also good for the immune system, not just digestion. So I use a product made by Renew Life that has the combination of ResistAid and probiotics together.
You know, I hear a lot of, just to get off the topic, and I'm going to throw in all different types of questions as they come, because we also have something I want to talk to you about, cholesterol. Let's ask about that right now before I forget. You and I were talking about this just to change the subject because we only have 30 minutes, but higher cholesterol, not a major concern?
It shouldn't be. Boy, you opened Pandora's box on me.
Sorry.
All right, so here's the reality of cholesterol. If you have really high cholesterol, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a problem.
Okay.
Really high cholesterol becomes a problem if you have enough other risk factors for heart disease. Meaning there are, I wrote a book on it that's called Four Pillars of Health, Heart Disease, and I talked about controllable and uncontrollable risk factors. Uncontrollable risk factors are like, for me, I'm a man, a strike one, I'm over 40, strike two, and I have a family history of heart disease, strike three. Those are uncontrollable, I can't do anything about those.
You could always get an operation to become a woman.
Well, here's the thing. Once you're a woman and you're post menopausal, you are just as equal as a guy anyway. Okay. So it doesn't really matter. Yeah. So I wouldn't be going through the surgery if I were you. Okay.
All right.
So you know, I have three strikes. I always tell people if you get the four strikes, then you really need to be cautious, and maybe cholesterol is something you need to be more concerned about. But then there's uncontrollable risk factors, like do you smoke? Are you overweight? Do you have a lot of stress?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the list goes on and on. If I have a lot of risk factors, then I do maybe want to take a little bit more control of my cholesterol. But here's the reality. Modern medicine has, you know, been prescribing cholesterol-lowering drugs for years, and we really do not see them having that profound, if any, effect on really lowering the incidence of strokes and heart attacks. And so, you know, are you? And here's the thing: you need cholesterol. It's part of every cell in your body. You need cholesterol to manufacture hormones, not just the sex hormones like, you know, progesterone, testosterone, estrogen, but there are other hormones in your body that you're that are made from cholesterol, and, you know, that help fight inflammation and other health health benefits. Your body needs cholesterol to manufacture vitamin D. It's ultraviolet light getting through your skin that hits cholesterol that converts it into vitamin D3.
Mm.
You know, so cholesterol is not evil. It's just what happens to it that, you know, makes people worried. And real quick, if you're paranoid about cholesterol, you should do what I do. I'm not really I'm not paranoid about cholesterol, but I'm paranoid about heart disease and the effects cholesterol may have. I use two supplements. One is called Citronol. It's a weird spelling, so I'll give it. It's S-Y-T-R-I-N-O-L. Citronol is 3 itty-bitty capsules a day, and it helps really get your cholesterol into that healthy range in as little as 12 weeks. And I also am a real big advocate of using omega-3s. Omega-3s from fish and omega-3s from something called chia seeds, C-H-I-A. You know, yeah, chia pets come from chia seeds, but the chia seeds I take to buy, you know, from my local health food store, and I take it as a supplement because they're organically grown. I would not be buying chia pets and eating the seeds.
Right, probably not a good idea. Yeah.
Well, you'd be surprised how
really?
Many people ask me
really?
If they can.
Really?
Yeah.
No
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah, yeah, it's twisted.
So there, you know, there seems to be almost an exaggeration in the advertising that we see, and every time I look at them, my wife and I look at these ads on TV for pharmaceuticals, and the side effects, I say to her, or she'll say to me, I'd rather have the disease. You know, the side effects are going to destroy your liver, may cause kidney problems, may have your head fall off, you know, all these things. And it's like, really? Is it really worth having being worried about what you may be dealing with? Is there more natural way to try to lower whatever you're worried about as opposed to taking these drugs, which seem to have really, some of them have very major side effects?
I apologize for laughing because what I'm about to say is not really funny, but it sort of is to me. The other night I was watching TV and there was a commercial for a drug on TV, and one of the side effects they mentioned was it may cause sudden death. So you're laughing too. So I'm not as twisted.
No.
But, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, all right. So what's the appeal in taking that medication? You know,
in my next lifetime, I'll be fine. I'll be
yeah,
healthy.
Well, my next lifetime, I won't take that drug. You know, I mean, really, what? I got to tell you a funny. Well, it's more of an amusing thing. Kind of going back to the antibiotic resistance thing. There are probably 5 or 6 areas that I believe that we take antibiotics or your doctor will prescribe antibiotics, and it's really not necessary. We already talked about cold and
right,
flu.
Right.
Acne is another big one. Ear infections, even in your kids, it's self-limiting. Even WebMD will back me up on that one, so I'm not some flake. Antibiotics aren't supposed to be used there. But here's a really killer one, and this is probably more for the women listening than men, but because they tend to have this condition more, but the issue of reoccurring urinary tract infections, probably if you're like me, the first time I heard that, I'm like, dude, there's like 5 people in the United States with that.
Mm.
No, there's actually probably 1 million people that have what's considered these reoccurring urinary tract infections. Mm. And modern medicine have you take an antibiotic day after day after day for the rest of your life as a preventative. Yet, years ago, there was a study done on this extract of cranberry. So I don't necessarily recommend buying cranberries, But this extract, it was called CranMax, C-R-A-N-M-A-X. And they studied it head-to-head against an antibiotic for preventing these reoccurring urinary tract infections. And what they found was it worked as well as the antibiotic that they used in the study at preventing reoccurring urinary tract infections. But the cool part was, for me, is it showed that even in a very short period of time, the antibiotic they used caused the bacteria to mutate, yet the supplement caused zero mutation with the bacteria. So in other words, if you're one of those people that's taking an antibiotic on a regular basis, just in a very short period of time, I think of like 30 days, the bacteria in your body will start to mutate or change so that they become resistant to that bacteria. Yet in this study, it showed using the CranMax, you got the same benefit as the antibiotic, but without the antibiotic resistant effect happening and no side effects, which is really cool.
Let me ask you a couple more quick questions because we're just about out of time. I've heard this from other vitamin people and herbal people. Powdered form, is that better than pill form if you're taking supplements?
Not necessarily. That used to be a great marketing ploy. You know, if you're buying your supplements at a quality, like I buy my stuff at the vitamin shop. I don't know if there's one of those near you guys, but that's where I buy my stuff. You know, they don't carry crap. I hate to say it that way. You know, there's always a chance a tablet might not dissolve in time, you know, when it leaves your stomach, before it leaves your stomach. But the key thing is that whether you take a tablet, a capsule, or a powder, none of that's getting absorbed into your bloodstream from your stomach. It's getting absorbed into your bloodstream from your small intestine. So all that really matters is in the 2 to 3 hours that's hanging out in your stomach is that it dissolves. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in time to get into your small intestine. So generally speaking, that's not as big of an issue as it maybe used to be. It used to be an issue 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But most companies are pretty smart now, and they do what they call dissolution tests to make sure that their tablet dissolves fast enough.
Right. So if you have any doubts, even when you buy the product, you could put it in a glass of water and it should dissolve. You should be able to see it dissolve.
Well, water is usually not the same because, you know, the pH of water isn't the same as your stomach. And it just doesn't sit there in your stomach like it would in a glass of water. You know, it's moving around constantly, but these are stomachs moving and swirling stuff around. So not quite the same thing. It's hard to get something the same acid content in a glass. So yeah,
maybe
you can't really.
Maybe a glass of Coke?
yeah, let's not even go there.
Let me ask you
I'm anti-sodas, if you can tell by my laughter. So yeah.
Let me ask you this then. Do you feel that there are, should people be pretty careful who they buy their vitamins from?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I don't think, to answer your question, yes, I think you need to be cautious.
If I go down to a something mart, blank mart, and buy my vitamins, should I be concerned or can I just go buy them there and I'm fine?
It's funny, most of the big chains now are using, for their store brand, are using some pretty good manufacturers, to be honest with you.
So,
but I still prefer, personally, I do not buy my stuff there. I still go to my local vitamin shop, where I've got a mom and pop store near me too, that I'll go in there and I'll usually end up buying, you know, either their brand or a name brand product. And here's the key. If it works, don't change.
Right.
You know, if you're feeling the effects, don't screw around. Just keep taking what you're taking. Don't change brands.
I hear a lot of people that I work with, especially this time of year with it, you know, being indoors a little more colder up here, say that they don't have a lot of energy. Is there something maybe that's lacking that they could take that would maybe give them a little more boost in a natural way?
Yeah, well, you know, when I hear that, I kind of start wondering about a few things. I wonder if they have seasonal depression, which is, you know, the days are shorter, the nights are longer. And if that's what it is, that would be something I would actually use St. John's Wort for, but it's already too late. We're already into January, and so it's too late to even go there. There are supplements like using a Chinese form of ginseng would be good. There's an herb that comes from India called ashwagandha. That's another good, those are both good for energy. And some of your fatigue can really be a D3 deficiency. You're not getting outside. Your body's not producing enough vitamin D3. For where you all live, that far north, I would be taking at least 5,000 units of vitamin D3 every day. I mean, I live in Florida, and I take 5,000 units every day.
Really?
During the winter
months. And that doesn't build up at all in you at all? David?
It can, but I can tell you right now, where you all live, I really doubt it. And if anybody's really concerned, go to your doctor and have them draw some blood and have that tested. But you'd be surprised how many people are D3 deficient. Now, I think it's probably more so epidemic than modern medicine even wants to admit.
No kidding. And that could be up here a lot, because a lot of people, you hear about that, and especially this time of year, and it's got to be the sun. We're not out in the sun, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, obviously, your days are a lot longer in the summertime. I mean, I've been up there, and it's great. But this time of the year, you know, you're not getting a whole lot of sunlight. And even if you are, you're having to bundle up to go out in it anyway.
Right.
You're really not getting that exposure. And tanning beds don't cut it. All right.
Right.
You can't go get your tanning bed thing going, and that's going to count as your sunshine. It's not going to work that way.
Well, I appreciate you answering all my questions, David. I didn't mean to put you on the spot with the cholesterol, but I thought we were talking about it. I thought it'd be interesting because I know people freak out. My father-in-law, they told him his cholesterol was high 30, 40 years ago. You know, he said, I'm not going to take these drugs for the rest of my life. I'll live with it. And he said, your body needs cholesterol anyway. And he's been fine ever since.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm totally fine with the whole throw me any question kind of thing. I enjoy it. It keeps my mind active. So thank you very much.
David Foreman's website, he's out of Tampa, Florida. It's herbalpharmacist.com. Is that correct?
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you very much.
And you can find out more and down the road, David, if you don't mind coming back on again, I'd love to have you, because there's so much we can find out. You have so much knowledge on these things, and I've got so many questions, so I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks. I will be on anytime you want me. I love doing what I do.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.
You know what my last show was about, David?
No.
About the Mothman.
Mafia, great.
No, the Mothman. It was about the Mothman.
Mothman, like M-O-T-H?
Yeah, you ever see that movie with Richard Gere, the Mothman?
Yeah. Well, that's what it was on?
Well, I thought, you know, I was researching it on the internet. It's nothing at all like the movie. My
oh,
last
really?
Show, well, no, in 1966, there was 100 witnesses that saw this strange thing. And it was in that town. And strange things happened after that. So I did so you're following the Mothman. Think about that. That's good.
Oh, I feel honored now, I think.